T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
.924 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. A little process post-game show here as the Sixers go down tonight 101-95 in Miami. We're taking your call in Indiana. 101-95 in Indiana. 888-729-9494. That's how you hop in. Another loss for the Sixers on the road. I mean, it's becoming something we can't ignore at this point. The Sixers are now 7-14 on the road. And you could be as good as you want to be at home, and they are good at home. They're 18-2 in their building, but they are 7-14 on the road. And until they get this figured out, they will not be anywhere near a top spot in the Eastern Conference. I mean, it's math. They can't win enough at home to offset 7-14 away from Philadelphia tonight. Tonight was a tough loss in which they led at the half, in which they controlled this game early. Ben Simmons had an incredible first half. We know Joel Embiid is out, and Ben has to step up his game in terms of being the guy and more of a lead scorer. He was that tonight. He had 20 points in the first half. He led the team in scoring, 24 points, 10 of 17 shooting, 14 rebounds, 3 assists, so he's facilitating a little bit less, scoring a little bit more, probably what he's been asked to do. Only turned the ball over twice, 4 of 4 from free throws. Ben Simmons overall had a good game, but 20 points in the first half, only 4 in the second half. The biggest issue tonight for the Philadelphia 76ers was their outside shooting, which was, to put it lightly, horrendous. Tonight, they were 6 of 33 from downtown. That is 18.2%. Mike Scott, who is really, let's call it for what it is, all right? Mike Scott has stunk this year. I know Mike Scott is a fan club. I know Mike Scott is a likable guy. He'll go to Eagles tailgates. He's fun. Mike Scott has stunk this year. He's stunk. He's had a couple games where he's poured in 3 or 4 or 5 threes and you forget, but for the most part, he's had a bad year off the bench, and he's one of their more, you know, the guy gets playing time off the bench. He's not played well this season. Tobias Harris, Tucker's favorite, 15 points, 7 of 16. Every Tobias Harris box score is the same. They're all Tobias Harris. They're all not worth $38 million. They're all just what he is, which is a pretty good player. Al Horford tonight, 10 points, 5 of 11 shooting, 8 rebounds. Ben Simmons, as I said, 24 points, 10 of 17 shooting. And Josh Richardson was the biggest culprit of the shooting issues tonight. He was one of 8 from downtown. 23 points. He wasn't horrendous overall, but 23 points. The bench tonight was not much help. Thybulle and Korkmaz combined to go 2 of 10 from downtown. And look, when you go 6 of 33 from downtown, you're likely going to lose the game. It wasn't turnovers tonight. They had 11, not an egregious number. It wasn't Ben not trying to score. He had 24 points. It was mostly the shooting tonight and the energy I saw to Indiana in the second half. Sixers didn't match that. I saw TJ had a steal, and the crowd got into it in Indiana. Just bad. And Ben Simmons in the second half, he didn't match what he did in the first half by any means. He was 1 of 5 shooting in the second half after shooting the ball 11 times in the first half. Tucker, not good.
No, and it was encouraging first half because Ben Simmons looked like the guy we've seen every now and then where he's aggressive. He's taking over every possession on both sides of the ball, but he really didn't get much help, and then he kind of faltered at the end too. Like you said, Mike Scott's been a huge disappointment. He's become an incredibly streaky shooter, but it's been a lot more bad than good lately. Tobias Harris was his usual self, like you said. Al Horford, I don't think, has made a 3 in like 2 months. He's been a really, really poor shooter. And despite his 23 points, Josh Richardson, 1 of 8 from 3, you can't have that from the guy who's supposed to be the knockdown shooter on your starting 5. At this point, this team just looks incredibly flawed. Even with Joel Embiid, I mean, he's not going to solve your issues scoring from the perimeter. They need a perimeter player who can score, who can shoot at a high volume in order to help this team win.
Yeah, it's a problem right now. 888-729-9494. I know where a lot of us are frustrated right now watching the Sixers. That's what it's been this year. The Sixers this season have been frustrating. When they win, you feel a sense of, all right, I could sigh tonight. A relief. They actually won tonight. And when they lose, it's just you want to pull your hair out the way they lose these games. This is not a fun basketball team right now. It's amazing how quickly the Sixers went from fun to not fun. They were fun. They were the most fun team in this town at one point. And they're not right now. And I don't know where they go to fix this. They can't make Al Horford be more spry out there. They can't make Tobias worth the money he's being paid. They can't make Ben eliminate all of his weaknesses in the moment. They can't get Joel healthy. And Josh Richardson really is just a guy. He's a good player. But he's not, like, you can't have Richardson as your second leading scorer night to night and want to and win. I mean, it's not going to work. Let's talk to Kyle in Doylestown. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, Joe. This whole Sixers team has been frustrating me for a while because I've had a theory that that Brett Brown is the main reason that we're fumbling so much. I just want to kind of get your take on it. I've had a theory that if you coach a 10-win tanking team, you cannot take players from that same team, turn them around, and make them a championship team. That's where I think that he has no respect in the locker room and no command of the locker room is the fact that he can't, that no one listens to him. They take him as a joke because he was the same joke he was when he coached a 10-win team.
So I want to throw in, Kyle, that it's, I understand your point, but none of these guys were there. I mean, this wasn't the 10-win team. For all they know, like those guys, those players that played on that 10-win team, they're either out of the NBA or they're on different teams right now. So I don't see why that would impact the way Al Horford looks at him. He wasn't here for that. Ben Simmons wasn't even here for that. Joel was hurt. Those guys weren't here for that.
But I guess just seeing he still ran the organization and he still ran those teams. Ben Simmons, because I'll say, didn't Ben Simmons come in towards the tail end of that tanking time?
Well, yeah, the tail end, right. But they were past. I mean, they were past
even
that.
Not even, but they were still. I don't know. I've always said that I think Brett Brown has been. He cannot get because they have a talented roster. They have size. They have speed. They have length. They have a talented roster. I just don't think Brett's getting the most out of that roster on a consistent basis. And the number one thing that coaching does for any team is energy, is enthusiasm. I'll just say, I mean, look at Miami. No one thought Miami would be who they were because they got Jimmy Butler, but all of a sudden now they're fourth in the, obviously they're fourth in the East,
yeah.
But they're playing with heart.
Well,
they're playing with fire.
They do. I will say this about I like Brett Brown, and Kyle, I appreciate it. But Spoelstra's a better coach than Brett Brown. Eric Spoelstra is an excellent coach. It takes a lot to earn the respect of LeBron James, and he did that, and James actually listened to him in Miami. I respect Spoelstra. I think he's a very good coach. If you want to bump him ahead of Brett Brown, I'm fine with that. I don't put most of this on Brett Brown. This is roster construction. I think there's two different things between talent and team. They have plenty of talent that doesn't fit together. Doesn't fit. They don't have enough shooting, and they don't have enough. They don't have dribblers, and guys didn't get to the basket. It's a mishmash of talent, yes, but it's a mishmash of talent. The one thing I will say about Brett, I said it last week on Rights to Ricky Sanchez. I'll say it again now. I don't feel like he has the team the way he used to. There's something off about them, energy wise, in their face. I saw when they were walking on the bench the other night. They look mopey. I hate mopey teams. And I don't know if it's Brett Brown's fault or at some point if the same voice just gets stale. We see this in sports all the time. Brett Brown's been here a long time. Now, he hasn't had these players for his entire tenure. And I don't think that they're losing now because he won 10 games, or only won 10 games 4 years ago. I don't think these players care. I don't think NBA players pay attention like we do. They're not embedded in this like we are. You think that, you know, Trey Burke is sitting there like, you know what, not listening to Brett. 10-72 that one year. He don't care. He's not us. He's not a fan. But I something's going on. I feel it when I watch them that they're just not giving 110 with that tenacity of effort. They 2 years ago, Tucker, I felt like they play with an energy every night and on defense. I don't feel it anymore.
No, and even towards the tail end of last year, you felt the team kind of coasting. Like I thought last year they had a shot because the Raptors started to falter. They had a shot at maybe trying to jump up and get the 2 seed,
yep.
And they just fell apart down the stretch. And their whole thing was, well, once the playoffs come, we'll turn it around. And sure enough, they did. They took care of business against the Nets, and they pushed the Raptors to 7. But imagine how much different that series would have been if they had home court advantage. Right now, the Sixers are the 6th seed in the East. And without Joel Embiid playing the next few months, like it doesn't look like it's going to get that much better. And as far as Brett Brown goes, you may not like him as a coach. I think he's a pretty good coach, but this is such a unique situation. I mean, so much of the issues coming from the Sixers is from a roster construction standpoint. Like, there's a reason why teams don't trot out starting lineups with four guys over 6'10". It sounds good in theory, you know, big people beat up little people, but that's not how basketball works in 2020.
It's not how it works. I mean, they've built a team that belongs in the early 90s. I mean, it's incredible. And now that with their center down in Joel Embiid, they have lost one of their better three-point shooters, which, again, probably shouldn't be the case. This is the team they built. And night to night, the hard part is they can't sustain any sort of consistent offense. They can't sustain it. The first half, they were playing well. They were winning this game. They were leading at halftime. But they can't do it over four quarters against good teams. And it's just, unless they're at home, they really struggle to win. They're 7-14 on the road. Raheem is in Wilmington on the Process postgame show. What's up, Raheem?
Not too much. I'm just frustrated. You know, here's what I got a question for you guys. You might be a little more knowledgeable than me. But when down the stretch, I mean, even say you go 6 minutes into the fourth quarter, the three-point shot was just not falling. So my question is, why did not Brett take over and say, look, pick and pop, pick and roll in the paint? Let us get some, like what Ben was doing in the first quarter. Why did we go to that? Why not?
Well, who's their pick and pop players? They don't have dribblers. They don't have guys that can hit those shots.
Well, they were doing it in the first half. I mean, they were in the paint. Ben was going to the hole. I mean, a lot of it was off fast break. But I'm saying with Al Horford, he's the guy you want in the paint and moving the ball. I just don't understand. If the three is not falling, why do they keep taking them shots?
Because number one, Raheem, if the other team's taking them, and I appreciate the phone call, always do. If they're a team, you have to shoot threes in the NBA. You have to. And I'm under the belief, and I think most teams are, you don't stop shooting on a bad night because percentages even out. And if it's one player, it's one thing. But if it's a whole team, that's probably going to even out. Now, unfortunately, some nights it doesn't even out till the next night. I can't just stop shooting threes. As far as pick and pop, who is the pick and pop players? Your point guard can't shoot. And they're going to just sag off. Like it's very easy to run pick and pop when you have James Harden. It's very easy to run pick and pop when you have Chris Paul. It's very easy to run pick and pop when you have the best perimeter scorers and dribblers and guys that can get to the basket or shoot. Like, they don't have the players. Who's picking and popping, Tucker? Trey Burke?
Joel Neto?
There you go. That's going to scare the Pacers.
This team lacks depth, which I think a lot of us maybe thought their bench was going to be better this year. It definitely looked better earlier in the season, but like you said, Mike Scott's really struggling. He's only shooting 34% from three this year, which is a career low. And the starting lineup is just so flawed. Like, it takes such a creative mind, a creative scheme to get this team to work properly, and it just seems like Brett Brown doesn't have that in his bag of tricks right now.
No, and look, unfortunately for Brett, I think we all see where this is going. Whether you're a Brett Brown fan or you think this guy stinks and has stunk since the moment he got here, this is the first time, this is the first year I actually feel the Brett Brown thing, it's coming apart. Like, I am now in the camp where I'm going to be surprised if he is their coach next season. Now, I wouldn't be shocked, but I'd be surprised. If they get to the playoffs, they play better in the second half. He could save this thing, maybe. And if the players sign up for him, maybe that changes things, like Joel and Ben, if they want him. But this is trending in the wrong direction. They're 7-14 on the road. And unless they turn it around away from Philadelphia, there's just not enough games for them to add up enough wins. Like, they have, I mean, their winning percentage away from here is ridiculously bad. Even if they win 36 or 35 home games, they're not going to win more than in the low 50s.
No, and most good teams are usually a little over 500 on the road. Like, they don't dominate on the road like they do at home. But this is like really historically bad for a team that should be this good. And maybe the issue is Ben Simmons. Maybe it's Al Horford. Maybe it's all roster construction, which I truly believe this is a flawed roster put together. It's not truly Brett Brown's fault, but Brett Brown's the easiest person to let go. He's going to be the first scapegoat, whether it's necessary or whether it's right.
That's exactly the way it goes in the NBA. It will always go that way. Elton Brand's not going to fire himself. They can't trade away this whole roster. And look, we've done this. We've done this a couple years in a row now. We get to February, we want to change the whole roster around. Maybe. And there were some rumors out there this weekend. Luke Kennard from Detroit, Derrick Rose from Detroit, Langston Galloway, the St. Joe's kid from Detroit. Pistons are ready to sell. Maybe there's a trade here. Maybe the Sixers can tread water, can win their home games, can make a trade, get Joel Embiid back, and boom, by March, this whole conversation feels different. That is possible. But as of right now, the Philadelphia 76ers are a disappointment. They're not as good as we thought they were. This feels like the Philly season all over again. Now, they're better. You're not going to finish 500. But in the context of expectations versus reality, roster hopes versus flaws, front office mistakes, they're going to get the coach canned. I feel like I'm watching the same season over again. I just did this. Like, at some point, you got to wake up and say, they're not as good as we thought. Okay, I've gotten there. At some point, you have to say, the front office counted on these things. They're not happening. We've done that. And at some point, you have to say, the net result is not going to be what we want it to be, and they're going to scratch and claw for whatever they become. Their floor is a lot more realistic than we thought, and their ceiling is a lot harder to imagine. Like, it didn't take long. Like, mid-May, I started to say, yeah, the Phillies aren't that good. They may be able to be in the race, but they're not that good. And I watch the Sixers and I say, they're not that good. They're going to be in the race. They're going to have a winning record. They're going to go to the playoffs. But you watch them night in, night out, and they're not that good. And I don't know how they fix that in the middle of the season. I don't think the best way to do it, and we've seen a couple years in a row, trading away a ton from the future to try to save right now or enhance right now. They did that last year. They traded away a lot for Butler and a whole lot for Tobias Harris. They don't have many assets left. And like, my gut tells me they're going to make a move and they're going to try to salvage this. But boy, they have to really start thinking about where they're going here, because I don't know what this team is right now. 888-729-9494, #9494. Sixers tonight shoot 18% from three. They blow a first half lead. They lose 101-95 in Indiana, 7-14 now on the road. We'll come back. We'll react to a Sixers loss on the road to the Indiana Pacers right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.